For 15 years, I gathered in a sacred ritual circle every other Sunday evening with Laurel, Francie, Pat, Cheryl, Bonnie, Mary, Gloria, Kara, and a host of other women who floated in and out of our group over the course of months and years. We always began by calling the directions. Spirits of the East, land of the rising sun. Spirits that bring new beginnings, new ways of being and seeing the world. Spirits of the East, be with us. Spirits of the South, of the passion of the fully risen sun. Spirits of the West of water and the sun's fading light, the ebb and flow of the tides and emotions. Be with us. Spirits of the North, of the deep darkness of winter, of the earth which sustains us, be with us. And we ended with spirits of the center, those who have gone before and those who will come after, calling in the ancestors and our descendants. And so we cast this circle, but each and every time, as the very last things we said before we dove deeper into our ritual, were these words: we are between the worlds, and what happens between the worlds changes the world. Now those hours, those many, many hours over many, many years that we spent in sacred space were truly transformative and grew more so over time. They were truly transformative for me and for everyone else in that space. In that sacred space of ritual, we honored the cycles of the earth. We grieved the state of the world. We grieved through 9/11. We grieved through two Iraq wars. We grieved through various happenings in Oakland and California, including teacher strikes and incredibly racially charged politics. We also blessed babies and grieved miscarriages. We offered coming-of-age rituals to the teens and celebrated our own aging with croning rituals. We honored each other's parents and grieved their passing. We played and sang and praised the world and shed our deepest tears with one another as well. We are between the worlds, and what happens between the worlds changes the world. Now, although it took me years to sink into the magic of those words, my own life was forever changed by those moments between the worlds. She's changed by everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. You can sing that with me, because I see some of you humming. She's changed by everything she touches, and everything she touches changes. So looking back, I can see that steeping myself in pagan ritual time and time again over the course of years, using language and singing and story and art to explore life's abundance in both its beauty and its pain, it shifted me. It shifted me not only in those times when we were between the worlds, but it shifted me in my ordinary days. Because by setting aside that time, I became more able to experience a different kind of being in the world. I was able more to move out of that logical, linear, time-bound, and often rushed center of my life into a different phase, a place where more of life was available to me, and on an ongoing basis. Karen's keen eye, captures precise images that others miss. And her spirit sees the magic in each moment that is like none other, and that was brought together for our feasting. Now, for me, the shift in perception is more like moving from a photograph of a lake to an impressionist rendering. Or opening up the aperture of a camera, allowing the relationship between objects to shift. The objects, material reality, don't change, but my perception to them can lead me into new understandings of myself and the world around me and my relationship between these things. The spiritual life is about this kind of waking up, of shifting perception so that more of the world is available to us, opening the apertures of our hearts wider and wider so that the connections of life become more apparent to us. Plato named it seeing with the eye of the soul. For the Sufis, it was the eye of the heart. For the Taoists, the eye of Tao or the inner eye. Whatever it's been named across traditions, this form of spiritual seeing represents the flowering of an intuitive awareness and recognizes the abundant, sacred nature of all people, all things, and of ourselves. And of course, seeing is only a metaphor for what happens when we begin to expand this sense of experiencing. Each of us, I believe, have been given gifts that we can cultivate to broaden and heighten our understanding of a broader reality, of the magic in the ordinary. I was recently on a walk with a friend and colleague, the Reverend Julia McKay. In addition to her being a Unitarian Universalist minister in Littleton, she's a friend of mine from my days in Oakland and a fabulous musician. So I took her on a walk that I take routinely. I've probably been on this walk 100 times. It's in the open space between Lafayette and Louisville. And we come up back where I live and up the hill. And at some point, you get to this mesa. And when you're on this mesa, you see the entire Front Range on to the west. And to the east, you can see to Kansas. It is amazing and beautiful, and I could not wait to get her there. And so we're walking up and around and around, and all of a sudden she says, "Stop." And so I stopped, and she said, "Listen." And I didn't hear anything. What she heard was a symphony of bullfrogs in this bog that I have walked by 100 times. Her musical ears were raptured by it, just raptured. Her capacity to have that part of herself open to that magic in the ordinary then opened me up, and that walk has never been the same for me since. Our Unitarian Transcendentalist ancestors infused our tradition-bound 19th century American religious Protestant life that was kind of pretty straight and rule-bound. They infused it with this power of spiritual seeing that they took from some of the Eastern traditions. Henry David Thoreau wrote, "It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. It's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see." And their encouragement to connect the experience of the here and now to our spiritual lives made it right into the first source of Unitarian Universalism, which invites us to use our direct experience in the transcending mystery and wonder of the world. Now, in these times, we're hearing a lot about being woke, waking up to the injustices of the world. And I am so grateful for my own awakening, and I'm getting learnings every single day about how to be more of a partner in this work. And as tiring as that can be, I hope I never choose to close my eyes to injustice. But at the same time, when I can shift towards the soft focus of an open aperture stance towards life, I can experience more love, more connection, and more beauty, more of the inherent sacredness of the world. And wouldn't the world be a better place if we all could just see it as a little more magical, precious, and sacred? Joanna Macy says that we care for that which we love. So falling in love with our ordinary moments can greatly enhance our capacity to both be healed and healers. Now, this doesn't really come naturally to us simple humans. We actually need to practice it. My women's group was one way that I began to cultivate this broader awareness, but pagan ritual might not be your thing, nor might walking around with a camera. But if there is an invitation today, it is to find your thing. Find the practice, the thing that opens your awareness to the magic of ordinary days. Find your own version of Rebecca's thermos of chai tea to awaken you in your moments of stress, that it is actually beautiful, whatever is before you. And perhaps you have it already. I know many of you are hikers. I know some of you are into yoga and meditation. Perhaps it's journaling or spiritual reading. Perhaps it's even the weekly discipline, the weekly practice of coming here on Sunday morning and being awed by the music and inspired by the community. Whatever it is, find your thing and make it a practice. Do it religiously. Because you don't want to let the magic of ordinary days pass you by.